Morning, brethren.
Morning.
Let's go to John 15. Our text is taken from here in verse 16. Here our Lord says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, this passage in which our Lord is speaking here, he's talking to his disciples, and he's declaring to them that they are a distinct group of people in this world. They are people who have been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose them. They didn't choose him. He chose them. You know, in this world, I guess with college, you would see this, where you choose where you're going to go to university or college of one that has courses that you want, and you choose out your teacher. But when it comes to salvation, we don't choose who our teacher is. We don't choose who our Lord is. The Lord chooses his people. It's his choice. It's his election. And that's true of these apostles here, these 11. And that is true of all God's children. All God's children are chosen by him. They are the elect of God. Our Lord was praying for his disciples. He said in John 17:9, "I pray for them. I pray for my disciples. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for those whom my Father chose and gave to me, and I've chosen them. They're my beloved. They're my spouse. I love them." And Christ teaches us election in the Scriptures. Not only does he say it here, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." He also was speaking to many Jews. In Matthew 11, 25 and 26, we see there that Christ thanked his Father for hiding the things of God from wise and prudent men, religious scholars, know-it-alls, people who knew a thing or two about the Bible, or thought they did. And Christ said, "I thank you, Father, for hiding these truths, these spiritual truths, from the wise and the prudent." It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." And someone might say, "Well, I thought God loved everyone and wanted everyone to be saved." They'll quote scriptures like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And they don't take into account that God is speaking to Nicodemus, a Jew, and the Jews were certain that they and they alone were the people of God, and that all the Gentiles were cast off. And Christ is saying, "No, I have my people scattered throughout the world, not just in and among the Jews, an elect nation within the physical nation of Israel. I have a remnant there, an elect remnant there, but I also have a remnant, an elect remnant in the world. I am the one Savior," Christ said, "whom God has sent to save his people scattered throughout the world." And so then they'll quote a scripture like 2 Peter 3:9, "For God is not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering to usward," us who hear and believe this word by his grace and power. He's not willing that any of us, his chosen elect people, should perish, but that every one of us should come to repentance. And so this world continues. The voice of the bridegroom is preached, declaring the gospel throughout the kingdoms of the world until every last one of God's elect chosen sheep is brought out of darkness and brought into the fellowship and the light and the grace of God, provided abundantly and freely by his sovereign power in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ preached election. He rejoiced in election. The Apostle Peter preached election. He rejoiced in election. He said in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, he addressed his epistle specifically to those chosen by God. He says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And that word, that root word there, is foreordained. God knew them. He loved them. He elected them because he would be kind and compassionate and gracious to them. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace unto you who are the elect of God. And then he writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, saying, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. They're a peculiar people. You that are chosen of God are a peculiar people. You are chosen out of the world, chosen by God before the foundation of the world, and given to Christ. And so to be chosen of God, it means that God chose someone, and he passed by others. He chose some and passed by others. He chose to bless some with the spiritual blessings of our God in Christ, which leads you to repentance, which leads you out of death and darkness into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because we did anything to earn it. That would be saving ourselves. We don't choose God. We don't choose Christ. Christ chooses us, and he chose us to be gracious to us, and he took it upon himself to ensure our salvation. Christ has a people whom he loves, and they were chosen by God and given to him, and he ensures our salvation. So Christ declares it, Peter declares it, Paul also declares election. He rejoices in the election of God for the people of God. He said in Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Us, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So Paul preached election. David also rejoiced in election. He wrote of our choosing and said in Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We that are chosen of God shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And so our salvation comes as a direct result of our being chosen of God unto this salvation. And all the blessings of God, James describes him as the Father of lights, from whom all the blessings, all goodness, comes down from above, from our God, unto needy sinners chosen by God to whom he will be gracious and merciful and compassionate to. He does this for us. And it comes down to needy sinners through the mediator, that mediator who also was chosen by the Father unto this work of salvation, even Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And therefore, we conclude, we know, that not one for whom Christ died shall perish, shall die outside of Christ. And not one shall go to hell for whom Christ died, because he accomplished our deliverance from thy death. They shall be brought into this salvation which God has ordained for them. We read, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We're going to hear it. When God moves upon us, when he moves as he moved upon the face of the waters, we shall hear, we shall experience and know that power of God who delivers us up out of that death, out of that grave of this flesh, and bring us into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we're told in Acts 13:48, that the Gentiles, hearing Paul preaching to the Jews and hearing them reject it and say, I don't want to hear this. We don't believe this. They said, hey, Paul, can we hear this message? Will you preach this message to us? And it says, when the Gentiles heard this, he came and preached to them, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. They were chosen. They were ordained to that life by God. And so when they heard it, in the hour appointed, the Spirit of God coming upon them, giving them the hearing of faith, they rejoiced in that word. They received that word. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. They believed him. And so in John 15:16, our Lord is telling us this very blessed truth. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You're not going to fail to obtain that which you seek, because it's all of me, he says, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so every child of God rejoices in this glorious fountain of grace, free, sovereign, almighty, sufficient grace given to us from God the Father for his chosen people, because he loves you and will be gracious to you. Our election and our salvation is not the cause of something we have done, something we do, or something that we will yet do. It's because of everything that our God does for us, has done for us, and will yet do for us, because it's all according to his purpose. So I want to give you 6 things about election in this message, declaring to you that election is personal. It is personal. That election is according to God's purpose. That election is in Christ. That election is unto salvation. That's the purpose for it, to bring us unto salvation. That our election is unconditional, not based on a condition in us. It's on the condition of Christ, but not on the condition of us. And that this election is always effectual, always leads thee to repentance and salvation in Christ. So we'll title this message, Election Is. Election Is. So first, election is always personal. It's always personal. God chose some to be gracious to. He came to those who are sinners, fallen in Adam and ruined, and he is purposed in himself before we ever were born to be gracious to them. And the rest he passed by. And we know, because the scripture hath concluded, all in sin, all under sin, because we see that in the scriptures, that those whom our Lord passes by and does not show grace to, they will die in their sins. They will die in their sins because they will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not come to him that they might have life. As he said to the Jews in John 5:40, he says, I know you, but you will not come unto me that ye might have life. I'm declaring the truth to you, he says. But they were offended in him, and they would not come to him for life. And so we preach the truth. We declare the truth of God. We urge men, hear this word. Call out upon the true and living God that he may be gracious to you. And our hope is, our confidence is that God will bless them, that he will pour out his spirit upon them, giving them the hearing of faith to hear that word and deliver them from that pit of darkness, which we all were in before grace came to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's personal. It's personal. You know, and religious folks, they hear this, and they don't have a problem with hearing God speak of election in a general sense. Right? Religion doesn't mind hearing of God's election in a general sense. It speaks of elect angels. Paul wrote to Timothy, writing of before the elect angels. They hear of God saying to Israel that you're mine elect. They have no problem with that kind of election. They hear when Peter wrote to the church that is at Babylon, being elected together with the saints. A religious man doesn't mind general statements about election, but God makes it personal. He comes to his people in power and in glory, and he causes them to approach unto God, being chosen of God, to hear this word and to believe it. When so many others, hearing the same word, being raised the same way, and yet they don't hear it, and they don't believe. Our God makes it personal. You know, sometimes you hear, it's not personal, it's business. Well, it's personal with God, and he makes it personal in bringing the word of salvation to those whom he chose and loves. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's what the Lord said. And a lot of people say, well, that's about nations. Well, nations are filled up of individual people. And Peter said, you are a holy nation, a people gathered out of every tongue, tribe, and people, and nation, into this nation of our God, a holy nation chosen before by our God. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And he tells us plainly in Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And so God calls his people out of darkness and gives them light in the face of Christ. We read again in Romans 9:17. And you could turn there. You might as well turn to Romans 9. Because we'll see a few verses in this area. Romans 9:17. We read that, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Pharaoh was hardened against the Lord, and the Lord gave him, he raised him up in that power to that position that he might show his power and glory in Pharaoh, that he might show the love and the power and what he's willing and able to do for his people, for the salvation and deliverance of his people, against the backdrop of a mighty man in the earth who hated and despised God. And he showed love for his people and hardened Pharaoh's already hard heart. He hardened it more and displayed his glory against the backdrop of wicked Pharaoh. And so election is true in a general sense, but it's always personal. And it's made personal when God brings it to a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, in darkness and in blindness, and delivers them out of that darkness, causing them to hear what God is declaring in his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 9:15-16, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God brings it right down to personal individuals and calls them out of darkness and gives them life in his Son. And we're told even of Noah. We're told Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God was gracious to Noah's three sons and their three wives and Noah's wife. And those eight souls were put into the ark, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the rest perished under the wrath of God. It's personal. Election is personal. It's for those whom God chooses. Second, our choosing is according to God's purpose. Election is according to God's purpose. So God makes it clear in his word that the purpose of God and all that we see, the things that we see and understand, it's all purpose to accomplish the salvation of his people. You're there in Romans? Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8, verse 28 through 30. Here we see that the purpose of God is to bring about our salvation for his glory. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, those are individuals, God knows them, he also did predestinate. He determined their walk. He determined the things that should come upon them and their walk to the Savior by his glory and power. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so his purpose for his people, the reason why we're here, is for the salvation of his Son to be wrought in the heart of his people, to bring us out of death and to bring us into light and glory, to call upon the name of our God, to worship and praise him and glorify him for this gracious salvation that we do not deserve, but that he gave graciously, compassionately to us. And so all this is for our salvation. Now, if you're not convinced by Romans 8, turn over to Ephesians 1. And I would encourage you to read Ephesians 1 at home and all of Romans 9 to see this more. But Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 5 says, it's according as God hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, before any works that we did, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So what did he base his choosing and predestination on? He tells us it's according to the good pleasure of his will. So we're chosen by God unto salvation according to his good pleasure, not by our works. And he tells us that his purpose is to save the elect. Look down to verse 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's not taking in outside information. It's all according to his own counsel, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, that last verse is beautiful. Let's read that again, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And so the Father chose a people by sovereign election, and he entrusted our salvation. He gave us into the hands. He committed this work of salvation in Christ, into the hands of his Son who came as the Savior, the Christ to save God's people from their sins. And so it's the Father who first trusted in Christ. The Father first laid all the hope of your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the third point we see is that election is in Christ. When you're looking at the spiritual blessings that God pours out upon his people, we see that all the spiritual blessings of God are poured out to us in Christ. Our choosing is in Christ. Our predestination is in Christ. Our adoption is in Christ. Our acceptance with God is in Christ. Our redemption, our purchase, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ. God reveals himself to us so that we learn of him. Our understanding is grown. Our knowledge of the true and living God is in Christ. We know his will and purpose in Christ. Our inheritance is in Christ. And our glorification, our receiving of that eternal life in eternity, in heaven, with God, is in Christ. And so we find that it's all in Christ. Look at verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And what our God is teaching us is that all the benefits of God, all the spiritual blessings of God, are found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. There are no blessings of God. There is no joy, no fellowship, no forgiveness, no salvation, no adoption, no receiving, no acceptance with God, no inheritance, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, not outside of him. Apart from Christ, there are no blessings, no grace. So we read in Romans 5 now, Romans 5, verse 8 and 11. We see this election. But God commendeth his love toward us. You can't say that for people outside of Christ. We don't know if God loves them until he manifests this grace in them. And he does. He does. We labor with people. We labor with our loved ones because in the day of his grace, they shall hear. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In Christ, we are saved from wrath. Outside of Christ, you're under the wrath of God. You're yet under that wrath of God. And so the purpose of Christ in coming to the earth in the flesh is that he came, he lived, and he died for that people whom God chose and gave to him. And he went to the cross willingly for them, to lay down his life for them, to give his life for them, and to do for them what they couldn't do while we were yet enemies, while we were yet in darkness. And he delivered us. He put us to death to those things in the body of sin and delivers us from that and establishes our life in the Lord Jesus Christ in that redeeming grace. And so we read in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is the successful Savior, and he does not fail. All for whom he gave his life and spilled his blood, they shall come out of darkness. They shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall have light and life and fellowship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth thing is that salvation is, or rather, election is unto salvation. In other words, the purpose why God elects anybody is unto salvation. It is true with the apostles and with pastors, he elects some to certain roles, to certain parts in the body, to have a part in the body. But we're talking about the election of salvation. It's always unto salvation. None, it's not just for playing games. We are elected unto salvation. And so what we understand, though, is that election itself, that's not salvation. Right? We're not saved by election alone, but election is unto salvation. All who are elected shall be brought unto salvation. Brought, they were saved by Christ, and they shall be brought to a knowledge of the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. 2 Thessalonians 2, and keep a marker there, because we're going to look at it here and then come back on the last point. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. Paul says, we're bound. I'll give you a few more seconds. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of God's electing grace is to take you out of that death and deliver you into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. To take you from that death in Adam and deliver you safe into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. God didn't elect us to give us a chance at salvation, to have a chance to go to God and to gain salvation, to take it and to make it ours. And he doesn't give us a chance for salvation. This salvation is sure and certain and fixed by God in Christ. And so it's not based on something we do, like many in so-called churches teaches that we get ourselves saved by faith, that God made it possible for salvation, and all who come to Christ and will believe, that then God will open the gates of salvation to them because, oh, they did something, like believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not how Scripture teaches it. Scripture teaches that salvation is a gift of God. Now, we'll see that in a bit there, but we believe because we have been redeemed by Christ. We believe because he has sent the Spirit to our hearts and manifested faith in us, which looks not to what we've done, but looks to Christ, whom God has sent, believing that he indeed is the salvation of God, and that he is my life, he is my hope, he is my salvation, he is my forgiveness. Lord, receive me. Save me, Lord. He works that in our hearts, to trust him, to believe him. Now, we'll come back to 2 Thessalonians 2 in a moment. But let me give you the fifth thing, because it's related to this. That salvation is unconditional. That is, it's not conditioned on something you or I do. God isn't waiting for man to do something to save himself, to make use of the components or parts of salvation that he put together, and that now we've got to assemble it up and make it work for us. No, that would leave it to chance. That would leave man to be the author of his own salvation, making use of some things that God provided for him. God does all the works from A to Z, from start to finish, from beginning to end. It's all in Christ. It's all of our God. It's not based on something we do. Paul, when writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, said that God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. It's just It's perfect. It's right. Mercy and truth have kissed, have met together. It's not according to our works, he says, but according to his own purpose and grace. He didn't open this up to outside counsel. It's his own purpose and grace, which was given us. God caused us to approach unto him. It was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So our salvation is ordained of God before any works are done by man. It's ordained of God before the fall of man. God purposed and ordained this salvation for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith is not a work of the flesh. It's not. If we say that, well, it's your faith that saves you. You've got to do this. And we don't think that comes from the gift of God by power and glory and his might, that it's somehow something of our flesh to get ourselves saved. Faith, that would make faith a work of the flesh. But he tells us that faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. And we're also told in Galatians 5:22 that faith is a fruit, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Fruits of the flesh are wickedness, they're malice, they're hatred, they're violence. They're wicked. They're thievings, they're stealings, there's murders, there's adulteries. Those are all the works of the flesh. But faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Right? He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith, it's a fruit of the Spirit, not of this flesh. Therefore, faith follows our being born again. Faith isn't why we're born again. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from man. It comes from the gift of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Faith follows our being given life, being regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God. So only after the new birth do we see the kingdom of God and hear the voice of the Son of God and hear his glorious gospel, that good news, but the hearing of faith, hearing what the Spirit testifies to the churches and says to them, hearing the voice of the groom and hearing the voice of the Spirit and hearing the voice of the church, the bride of Christ, say, come, come to the fountain, come to the waters, come to Christ for salvation. He is hope. That's when we hear it, because he's done a work of grace and power and glory in us. So it follows the new birth. So election isn't conditioned on something we do. It's according to God's goodwill and purpose. Now this brings us to the sixth and final thing that election is. It's always effectual. Always effectual. All who were chosen of God shall be called and shall be saved in the time, in the hour appointed by God for their salvation. And it's by his irresistible grace given to us in Christ, who established this covenant of grace, that God may be gracious and is just in being gracious to us. Let's return to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, first, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. There's the thanksgiving. We don't thank man. God doesn't thank you. Oh, thank you for believing on me. Thank you for making my son your Savior and your Lord. No, that's silly. That's nonsense. We give God the thanks and the praise for the salvation of his people. And we're told, because God hath from the beginning chosen you, that personal you, to salvation. We're dealing with the power and glory of God, not the fickle will of man. Man hears this. The Jew hears Christ and stumbles over him. The Greek hears it and says, that's foolishness. But to us, which are being saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of what Christ has done for us, is the power of God unto salvation. We see also here in this verse the working, the gift of the Spirit, saying that it's through sanctification of the Spirit the Spirit separates you from all those other perishing sinners and causes you to hear that word. Now, many hear it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few are given that hearing of faith when they hear that word preached. And it's because the Spirit regenerates you who were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, given that, raised to life in that new man born of the seed of Christ. And he says, you're chosen of God for belief of the truth. He's separated you out and brought you to this, to hear this word, to believe that word spoken to you in the preaching of the gospel. And so you must hear the gospel. And when you hear it, in the hour appointed, maybe not the first time, but when God determines it, you'll hear that word and you shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of how many never hear. How many have never heard the gospel somewhere in the world? There's many perishing sinners who never hear it. But he chose you and separated you to hear that word and made it personal to you and brought that salvation to your heart. And so we're predestinated by it. Now, unto it. Now, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel, making you to hear it in faith, and he makes it effectual to you, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know who the elect are. We don't even know that we are the elect. But we hope in God and trust him and believe his word, who manifests in us that faith and hope which looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We don't know who his people are. We don't go up to the people and preach to those we think are the elect, because we're always wrong. Not just often, we're always wrong. We always think we know, but God shows us that his people come from all places, the base, the unwise, the foolish things of the world. And he does it in a way that glorifies his name, that glorifies his son, and shows forth his power and glory. And he brings us to call out and cry out to him, to show mercy to us, to reveal this faith and hope in us and in those whom we love and in whom to whom we preach this word to. We trust him and we cry out to him because he does it all in the walk of faith, so that we lean not on our own understanding, not on our own wisdom, but that we lean upon him for this work of salvation. But he manifests it in his children. You that believe Christ, that have no hope but Christ, that's a manifestation that you are the sons and daughters of God, because he does that work in his people. And so we're not going to boast in ourselves and what we've done to save ourselves by our works or our faith. We confess it's all of grace. As Paul wrote at the end of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, when he said, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so he does that. He makes us to glory in him. Now, in that light, that we have been chosen of God, and that it's all of his glory and power, now hear this word of his promise spoken to you in John 15, verse 16. We'll close with this. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. The fruit of faith, the fruit of love, the fruit of gentleness and peace and kindness, and that your fruit should remain. God is not unjust to forget your works in Christ, what he's wrought in you, your hope in him, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so we see the power and the glory of our God in salvation by his Son, Jesus Christ, for you whom he loves and has revealed this hope of salvation, this faith in Christ, in you. So praise God, thank him, give him all the praise and glory, and trust him to work this which he started in you and to bring it all the way to the end, because it's all in his hand from beginning to end. Amen.